Hi, I'm Jennifer Smith, and I'm one half of Women's Health in Black and White, a YouTube channel for women's health, and also Afterglow, a Women's Health in Black and White podcast. Anchor Podcast makes podcasting super easy. Everything is right there that you need to make a podcast in one place. You can upload your podcast from your phone or your computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so you can be heard on places like Spotify, Apple Podcast, and many more. The best part about Anchor, though, it's free. You don't have to pay anything. And then the second best part is you can start earning money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which means right away. It's super easy to get started. All you have to do is download the Anchor app to your phone or computer, or go to anchor.fm to get started. Good luck. Hi, I'm Jennifer Smith, and this is Afterglow, a Women's Health in Black and White podcast. What you're about to listen to is the audio track of one of our YouTube videos. If you like what you hear, check us out on YouTube. Like, comment, and subscribe. We're on Facebook and Instagram as well. And all the activity gets us more attention, so give us a like. Hope you enjoy.
Hi, I'm Jennifer Smith.
And I'm Melba Jones.
And we are Women's Health in Black and White. Today we're going to talk about something that is a very widespread problem for pregnant women. Mm-hmm. It's morning sickness.
Right.
And then we're going to talk about something that is much rarer, but definitely expensive to treat,
yes.
Definitely serious,
right.
Called hyperemesis gravidarum. Morning sickness is very widespread. Mm-hmm. More than 50% of women report at least having a little bit morning sickness.
Yeah.
hyperemesis gravidarum, on the other hand, is less than 2,000 U.S. cases per year. Mm-hmm. But for those women, it becomes all-encompassing.
A big problem, yeah.
These women can't work. Mm-hmm. They can't participate in their family life.
Right.
They can barely raise their head off the pillow. Mm-hmm. And in fact, women have contemplated and completed terminations of pregnancy.
Right.
Because the hyperemesis gravidarum is so severe. They feel like there's no way out.
No other option, yeah.
And it's heartbreaking.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's talk about both. Morning sickness can start about 6 weeks pregnant, and it can last 16 to 20 weeks.
Yeah.
The worst time, the most severe symptoms are usually felt between 10 weeks and 16 weeks. It's just nausea.
Mm-hmm.
Vomiting too,
right.
Of course, but really mostly severe nausea. Why do you get it? Well, there's some theories. We're not 100% sure we know exactly why you get morning sickness. But we do have some theories, and we know some things that certainly make it worse, some things make it better. Your hormone levels are definitely going to affect whether or not you have morning sickness, which is why mamas of multiples have it worse, because they've got higher hormone levels. And if you do have morning sickness, you can kind of take some consolation that you have really good hormones.
Mm-hmm.
Pregnant women are very sensitive to smells.
Yes.
Very sensitive, and that seems to trigger morning sickness for a lot of them. Pregnant women have an increase in saliva. In fact, frequently pregnant women get something called thiolism, which is increased saliva that causes spitting.
Right.
And it's disturbing to see.
It is.
Because it's just not pretty to see a pregnant woman carrying a bottle that she's constantly forced to spit in. But frequently if they attempt to swallow that saliva, then they throw up.
Right.
So they're doing it to avoid throwing up.
Yeah.
Fatigue can play into morning sickness. You might be a little more nauseous when you're really tired. Blood sugar spikes, I think, play a large role.
Oh, yeah.
Huge role.
Right.
Which is why we usually tell people don't get too empty, but don't get too full either. Keep a little bit of food in your stomach. And we did our podcast about this as well.
Right.
If you're interested in some of our own personal stories
about
it, go to Afterglow. But Melba was saying that a lot of people, or a lot of women, won't eat at all, thinking if I have nothing in
my
stomach,
I won't throw it up.
But you want us to dry heave.
Yeah. That's just not helpful. You do want a little bit of something on your stomach at
definitely.
All times. So I was saying small, frequent meals as opposed to, you know, the three big meals a day. So just keep something constantly on your tummy.
Heat plays a role. We see a lot more morning sickness in the summer months than we do in the winter months.
Right.
And genetics definitely plays a part in it. If you have a mom or a sister who had really bad morning sickness, you're more likely to have it yourself. This leads to real economic business, family problems.
Yes.
Because women are not capable sometimes of going to work, then wind up in the emergency room needing fluids. We can't just say, oh, she's got morning sickness and blow it off, because it can be a really big deal. But it isn't hyperemesis gravidarum.
Right.
Hyperemesis gravidarum is the extreme of morning sickness. Yeah.
The worst of the worst.
The absolute worst. I have a cousin whose daughter had hyperemesis gravidarum. And, you know, she said, it isn't morning sickness. I had morning sickness. This is not morning sickness. Mm-hmm. My daughter doesn't watch TV. She doesn't look at her cell phone. She doesn't read a book. She doesn't lift her head off her pillow.
I was about to say, it's debilitating. Like,
it is. Absolutely debilitating. You cannot function with hyperemesis gravidarum. And like I said, it affects about 2,000 women in the U.S. every year. But of these women, the effects can be almost catastrophic. And we spend a lot of money on it. It's not a whole lot of women, but it's over $500 million in hospital visits in the last 5 years.
Right.
That's a phenomenal amount of money for this relatively few cases. And we've had some huge medical tragedies trying to fix it. What occurs to me first is thalidomide.
Yeah.
Thalidomide is a medication that was popularly used in the 1950s into the 1960s. We don't have thalidomide stories here in the U.S., and you can thank the Federal Drug Administration for that. But it was widely adopted all over Europe and in South America. And in fact, it's still being used in South America today, but not for pregnant women. It worked. It really helped nausea and vomiting, and it changed women's lives while they were pregnant with hyperemesis gravidarum.
Right.
But it also caused some horrific birth defects.
Yeah.
Babies born without limbs, babies born with facial cranial deformation.
Yeah.
Is that a word?
Deformities.
Deformities.
We made it a word.
We made it a word. And when they stopped using it, when they realized what it was, it created a whole new approach to the use of medications in pregnancy and in breastfeeding, because it drove home the point of how important these medications can, how importantly they can be, how much they can affect the fetus.
Yeah.
So, hyperemesis gravidarum is constant, severe nausea, dizziness, lightheadedness, loss of appetite, vomiting more than four times a day, severe dehydration, weight loss of greater than 10 pounds or more than 5% of your body weight. Now, when we first started talking about this before we started filming, Melda said she feels a little bad that she almost wanted hyperemesis. And I admit, the idea of losing 5% of my body weight is appealing.
It's appealing, but it's not worth it.
We don't want to do it this way. You are at much increased risk of hyperemesis gravidarum if you have a family history of it. You are at much increased risk if you're carrying more than one baby. You're at increased risk if you look like me. Increased body mass can trigger this.
Right.
First-time mamas have a greater tendency to have it. But once you've had it, you have a tendency to repeat it.
Yeah.
There's three medications that are commonly used. Four, but the fourth one is really expensive and insurance companies don't want to pay for it. Reglan, Phenergan, and Zofran are the three that are commonly used, and they each have their benefits and they each have their risks.
Right.
The one that is less commonly used is very good for regular, normal morning sickness. It's called Diclegis or Bongesta. It's not approved for hyperemesis gravidarum. And like I said, it's expensive, like $1,000 a pill. Expensive. Yeah. Here's the trick, though.
There's a trick.
It's not complicated. It's a combination of two medications that midwives have been using for decades. Vitamin B6 and Unisom.
Yeah. Over the counter.
There's no magic to it.
Yeah.
You don't need a prescription for either one of those medications. You can go get them right now today. There's one negative for Unisom. It makes you sleepy.
Yeah.
Of course, if you're
but
you might want to be sleepy.
You might want to be sleepy, but you know, not if you have to go to work.
Or drive. Over time, that sleepiness side effect kind of goes away, and it just helps the nausea. So if you have morning sickness, and you've been given samples for Bongesta or Diclegis, and it's really helped, but your insurance company won't pay, go to the pharmacy and buy yourself some vitamin B6 and some Unisom.
Yeah.
Reglan. The way that Reglan works is that it can turns off serotonin receptors, mm-hmm. so that it kind of controls those neurotransmitters in your brain. And it works really well for nausea. It does.
Yeah.
But it has a few major side effects. It can cause some dizziness, dry mouth. It can cause lightheadedness. But the big one is something called tardive dyskinesia. It is uncontrollable muscle movements. Yeah. Frequently things like head tics, palm thrusting.
Yeah.
Once you get one of these side effects, it doesn't go away
right.
sometimes. There's no way to fix it. Now, people who use Reglan for nausea and vomiting, for hyperemesis, very rarely have the side effect.
Mm-hmm.
It's long-term use, years,
yeah.
that we really worry about it. And it's older populations that we worry about it more than young women who might be pregnant. But it is serious, and you need to consider it. Phenergan's major negative side effect is sleepiness.
Oh, yeah.
Now, it doesn't affect me. I can take Phenergan. I can take Phenergan and go to work.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, and that's
fine.
Me out.
But some people
yeah.
take it and sleep for 14 hours.
It's the best sleep ever.
I wish. Okay, Zofran got a really, really bad rap.
Mm-hmm.
There was a meta-analysis of several very small studies. These were not great studies. When we, from a scientific perspective, look at studies, we want to know how many test subjects were included.
Mm-hmm.
We want to know what other variables were considered. We want to know a lot of things. And these studies weren't great studies. But it implied that Zofran could be a trigger for things like cardiac defects mm-hmm. in the baby, and cleft lip and palate. Now, there were other things that were going on with these pregnant women in these studies that could have caused the cardiac malformations and the cleft lip and palate,
right.
plus severe hyperemesis gravidarum, the nutritional imbalance associated with that, can cause cardiac defects
things, yeah.
and cleft lip and palate. So when we looked at those studies, I wasn't terribly impressed. They hit around 2015, 2016,
mm-hmm.
16, seems like.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, my patients were refusing Zofran.
Right.
I'm going to tell you, I took Zofran pregnant with my second kid, and it just about saved my life. I did not have hypermesis gravidarum.
Right.
Let me just say that.
Yeah.
I just had regular morning sickness. But I had to work. I had no choice. I was exhausted, and I was throwing up mm-hmm. every time I ate anything. Zofran fixed it for me. Both of my children, I took it with both pregnancies. They're both healthy. They don't have any cardiac defects. They have normal cleft lip and palate.
Mm-hmm.
My mother didn't take it, I'm sorry, with one of her pregnancies, and my sister had a cleft palate. So,
Yeah. It's
not a, there was not a link in mm-hmm. any of those studies that made me believe that Zofran was to cause. Nay. In 2018, there was another study, a really good study,
mm-hmm.
with more than 20,000 participants,
right.
that said that Zofran had nothing to do with heart defects or cleft lip and palate.
Right.
That's the study I'm going to go with. I'm still prescribing Zofran. I feel like it's a really good drug, and I feel like it helps, especially with these patients with hyperemesis gravidarum.
Right.
It can be life-altering.
Yeah.
It can be life-altering. So how do you treat hyperemesis gravidarum? Well, it's really medical management. The things that we do for morning sickness just aren't going to cut
yeah.
it. So if you smell lemon or peppermint and what you have is morning sickness, you're going to feel a little better. If you drink lemon lime cola,
mm-hmm.
if you drink ginger ale, acupuncture, acupressure, ginger snaps, C-bands, all of these things can help normal morning sickness.
Right.
It's not going to make a difference to somebody with hyperemesis gravidarum.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be your own advocate. Only you know how many times you've thrown up. Only you know how miserable you feel. Don't wait until you have to go to the ER.
Yeah.
Call us. Let us see you. Let us get your weight. Let us see what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because there are some really great programs out there to help you.
Right.
A lot of my information is coming from a company called Optum. Optum is the company that my office uses for our hyperemesis gravidarum patients and our just morning sickness patients
mm-hmm.
too. when it's severe. And they have given me some great stuff to play with today, including this little dummy Zofran pump. So if you have been diagnosed with severe morning sickness or hyperemesis gravidarum, and some wonderful person has hooked you up with a home health agency to yeah. fix it, you're likely going to hear from your home health agency nurse in 12 to 48 hours, mm-hmm. depending on whether it was the weekend or not.
Right.
Someone will come out to your home. This is a dummy pump, so this isn't a real pump at all. You can see it's not hooked up to anything or has any medicine in it. But it's about the size of what you'll have. There's mm-hmm. a bag that it sits in. And there's tubing, very much like IV tubing, that comes out of the pump. It goes through a tube into a device or a patch that about yeah. the size of a silver dollar. The patch has a IV tube in the middle of it, and it has tape or adhering material over it. So what you do is you, using a self-injector to create the little site, mm-hmm. you punch it into your abdomen, and most people tell me it doesn't hurt.
Right.
I mean, I've very rarely had anybody say, I can't do it, it hurts.
Yeah.
It doesn't hurt. But it sticks to your skin. You have to change the site. They'll tell you exactly when to change mm-hmm. the site, how to take care of the site. The covering adheres to your skin, just like a bandage or adhesive yeah. would. Nice and covered, so it can't get infected. And through the tube, the Zofran or Reglan, whichever medication is working best for you, will go in. They'll teach you how to set the pump up. It's a bag that comes pre-filled. You don't have to do anything. Just put it in and set the numbers. And because you have this pump at home, if it's working well, great. If it isn't, you call and they can talk you through changing your rate, giving you a bolus, whatever yeah. you need to do to get back on track. They'll also, while they're there, giving you all of this education, give you more education about what to eat, how to eat to feel your best. They'll check your urine with these little test strips to see how dehydrated you are. And if you're very dehydrated, they might even give you a bag of IV fluid. Mm-hmm. That's one of the real benefits of home health,
yeah.
is that you don't have to go to the hospital for IV fluids. So while you're getting your Zofran or your Reglan, you can also be getting rehydrated right there in the comfort of your own home. Lovely.
It is.
So
it's very
nice.
Convenient.
then when you come into the office, we'll start seeing that you've gained weight. We'll start seeing yeah. that you feel better. Most women will start this pump around 8 to 10 weeks of gestation. And most women who are on the Zofran or the Reglan mm-hmm. pump are off of it by 24 weeks.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we'll have somebody that has to be on it the whole pregnancy, but that's pretty rare.
Yeah.
One of the biggest negatives of Zofran is constipation, but the pill seems to be a lot worse for that than the Zofran mm-hmm. pump. I don't know why, but if you are on the Reglan, a Zofran pump, it's a good idea to make sure that you're taking in plenty of water.
Yes.
And some bulk fiber substitute like Citracell, Metamucil, mm-hmm. Benefiber, or Fibercon to balance that particular complication out.
Yeah.
Otherwise, most people don't tell me too much about bad side effects from Zofran. Yeah. And if they say anything, it's constipation. Otherwise, they just feel so much better.
Yeah.
So much better.
And we can prevent the constipation.
We can work around that.
It's a fair trade-off.
To not throw up, it's a fair
right.
trade. Definitely a fair trade. So, if you are suffering from one of these conditions, either just severe morning sickness or truly hyperemesis gravidarum, home health can be the life-saving measure to get you back on your feet and feeling better.
Right.
And I've even got some really amazing statistics. So the hospitalizations fell off enormously. Okay. Prior to starting a Zofran pump, in one study, there were 16 hospital admissions and 37 ER visits. After starting the Zofran pump, there were 4 hospitalizations and 3 ER visits.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yes, I did.
That's a difference of 75% in the inpatient hospitalization and 91% in ER visits. That's pretty decent statistics that this Zofran or Reglan pump thing works. Mm-hmm. So you can't really argue with that. It's very small.
Right.
It's not fun to carry a bag with you everywhere
right.
you go,
but
it's not
compared to what you
yeah.
were feeling. Like,
yeah.
Most women don't complain about
no.
it.
Most
from
women
what I've seen.
Are so very grateful
yeah,
to not be carrying it. The other thing that they can do for you with home health is come out to your house and give you IV fluids, mm-hmm. which is another way we cut down on hospitalizations. Right. I can't do IV fluids in my office, but they can come to your house mm-hmm. and hook you up on your couch with a bag of IV right. fluids and make you feel better right away. And then there's psychological support and emotional support. You have access to talk to a nurse pretty much anytime. What that does for you is give you a resource that you can go to when you feel bad. And I'm not saying hyperemesis gravidarum is in your head. It is 100% not in your head. But your head does play into it. You get so anxious about the idea that you might throw up. You actually increase your risk that you're going to throw up.
You're going to throw up.
So having a resource so that you can talk to a nurse who really understands hyperemesis can be invaluable. A little background about hyperemesis, I mean, breakdown of what women who gets it. Mm-hmm. In this study, there about 19% of, I'm sorry, 38% of the women in the study were African American. 46% of the women in the study with hyperemesis were white. 1-2% were Asian. You are far more likely to get it if you're white. Or are you far more likely to report it if you're white? That's right. What I want to know.
Yeah.
What I'm seeing in my own personal patient population mm-hmm. is it seems to be about equal.
Yeah.
Between white and black.
Right.
I don't have a lot of Asian women on a pump.
Yeah.
But I have a lot of black women on pumps. I have a lot of white women
right.
on pumps.
Right. That's what I was like.
I'm wondering if there's just not a report.
Yeah. Right.
There was about 40% of Latino women who consider themselves non-black Latino mm-hmm. or also in this study. But yeah, I think it's going unreported.
Now that I think about it, I've only seen black and white. No play on our channel, yeah. But literally I've only seen black or white patients. Yeah.
Age group, the vast majority of the women who had it were in the age group of 20 to 30 years. Mm-hmm. That was about 79% of these patients in this study. The younger patients didn't seem to have it nearly as bad. 15 to 17 were only 4%. 18 to 19 was 10%. And our older moms, which honestly I expected that right. to be a big group,
yeah.
that was only 6%.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I was 35 to 40 years old. I was expecting this.
So older women, there is a positive, okay?
There's a positive. Your risk factors of having it, like I said before, if you have it in a previous pregnancy, if you're obese, if you have a history of depression, if you have a thyroid disorder, if you have multiple gestation, those are your big risk factors. I expected that other pathologies would play into it. I expected people who had a history of bulimia, or anorexia nervosa. Mm-hmm. Nope, doesn't seem to have anything to do with that. Infertility patients don't seem to have it any worse than anybody else. Nausea while on oral contraceptives don't seem to play into it, which is kind of neat. Seizure disorder doesn't seem to have anything to do with it.
Yeah.
But thyroid disorder did. So if you have a thyroid problem and you know that ahead of pregnancy, you might want to be a little on the, a little bit on the lookout for hyperemesis.
Else, you know, like when she mentioned nausea and vomiting, morning sickness versus hyperemesis, you know, as far as like the reporting thing, you know, some women may just feel like, oh, well, this is just normal morning sickness. But if you're throwing up 4 or 5 times a day, if you're dehydrated, like your lips are cracking, you know, you're just fatigued.
You're not peeing.
I was just going to say, you're not using the bathroom as often as you used to. That's a little bit more than just morning sickness. So I do think some women kind of power through it until they get to a point where they can't, and then that's when they come to the hospital, and they're usually by that time they're like severely dehydrated, we have to get in fluids, that type of thing. So I think it's probably just an education type thing of, okay, what's normal nausea and vomiting, what's strange. Too much. So I think that does influence the numbers that you just reported.
Sure. Mm-hmm. We actually had a patient recently. She's not even had her new OB yet. She's already lost 27 pounds. And when she showed up at the emergency room, it took 3 bags of IV fluid before she peed.
Wow. Yeah.
That
is hyperemesis gravidarthensis for sure.
Yeah. She was extremely dehydrated.
She hasn't even had her new OB yet.
Oh my goodness. No, bless her heart. She's very, very sick. So, the take-home message is, while morning sickness is certainly not abnormal,
right?
It exists. It happens. Mm-hmm. Most of us, more than half of us, will report it during the course of our pregnancies. There's a lot of things that you can do at home that'll help manage it. If it's getting to the point where the at-home management things that you're trying aren't working, you need to speak up and get some help.
Get some more help.
Because you could be heading towards something much more serious called hyperemesis gravidarum. And we can help you. That's what we're there for.
Right.
So between the management by your obstetrician and your midwife, and with home health agencies like this one, you can get the care that you need to not only get through your pregnancy as well as possible, but to get back to enjoying your pregnancy.
And your family life and work life. And I mean, because it really affects everything. So
if you are suffering from hyperemesis gravidarum, or if you just think maybe your morning sickness is a little more extreme than it should be, please call your healthcare provider, get yourself some medication, let's get you back on the right track. The other thing that I want to mention is the HER Foundation. It's hyperemesis gravidarum, that's not what it is. You can look it up. The HER Foundation, H-E-R Foundation, is the hyperemesis gravidarum foundation. And they have an amazing website full of tips and other people's stories about how they managed it and what they made them feel better. And sometimes just knowing you're not the only
one. The only person, yeah.
Will make you feel enormously better.
It does.
It's a rare problem, hyperemesis gravidarum, but it can change your whole life. It can change the way you even see yourself and your role as a mother. And this website is an amazing source. So check that out too.
And that concludes this video. So please follow us on our social media, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Please like, subscribe, share, leave comments, and
check out our podcast, Afterglow.
Our podcast.
And we will see you all back here later.
See you later.